Psalm number 50, and we'll read from verse number 16. Psalm number 50 and verse number 16. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Now back to the book of Genesis, please, and to chapter 6. Just for a very short reading here. Genesis chapter 6, and just one verse, verse number 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. That little statement, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Now from the book of Genesis through to the book of the Revelation, please, and to chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things, those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now will you turn to Isaiah, please, and to chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 7. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. And then please, a final reading in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we are going to read from verse number 31. Romans chapter 8, and verse number 31. What shall we say then to these things of God before us? Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up from us for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord will bless to our hearts this public reading, we know, of his precious word. I want to speak to you tonight for a little while on the subject of a silence. If I might use a title for my message, I would call it The Voice of Silence. You might think that is a contradiction of terms, but I think before we are finished, you will see, my dear friend, that the voice of silence, sometimes it speaks very, very loudly indeed. I want you to think of a silent God in Psalm number 50. I want you to think of a silent Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. I want you to think, my dear friend, of a silent company in Revelation chapter 20. I want you to think of a silent Savior in his agony in Isaiah 53 and 7. And then I'm very happy, as we would close our message in the will of God, to think of a silent Savior, a silent Satan rather, in the book of Romans chapter 8. I want you to think of a silent God. The very solemn words of Isaiah 53 would challenge the sinner. And my dear friend, tonight I want you in the presence of God to be honest with your own soul. I want you to check off these things that God would charge the sinner with. And I want you to think of this sad list in Psalm number 50. God says here, these things hast thou done. Now please remember, neither the speaker that is before you now, or speakers that will speak later, my dear friend, it's not really their voice that you hear. As they would stand here in fellowship with God, it is God's voice that you hear through human lips. If it were the voice of man, snap your fingers at it. Forget all about it. But my dear friend, it is peril to your soul if you'd close your ears to the voice of God. God would charge the sinner tonight. And here is the charge. He says, these things hast thou done, and I have kept silent. I'm just going to abbreviate them for the sake of time, praying that the Holy Spirit will press them home. He says, you've hated instruction. Verse number 17. In other words, rebellious to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God would plead, you've hated instruction. My dear friend, what a solemn charge. Tell me, young man, does it fit in? I'm not thinking so much now of the instruction of a godly father or a godly mother, but I'm thinking of the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God. As circumstances have arisen in your life, and you've closed your ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you've closed, my dear friend, your heart to his strivings, and on you've gone. And tonight God would charge you that you've hated instruction. And then I want you to think, my dear friend, that God would charge you again, that you've cast his words behind you. Contemptuous to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God. And my dear friend, I see here a young man or a young lady closing their ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, contemptuous to the pleadings of the Savior. And my dear friend, I see such a one on a downward path, because let me tell you, there is no knowing how far you'll go. Young man, I know Christians, and their boy died on the end of a hangman's rope. I know Christians, and their children tonight are behind prison bars. Some of you, you've put your hand in the hand of Satan, and you've closed your ears to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God. And I hear the charge of God as he goes down further. He says in verse number 18 that you have been thieving. In verse number 18 again, that you've been dabbling in immorality. My dear friend, that you've been guilty of filthy language. And young man, your father, he loves the book of God. And young lady, your mother, she prays for you. And you use your lips in blasphemy. You're sinking, you're going down, and only in the mercy of God, if you're stopped, you'll land lost forever in the lake of fire. But I don't want to go too far too quick. Immorality, you're charged with. I want you to remember that God sees in the dark as well as in the light, immorality. Then he charges them with filthy language. He charges them with deceiving. He charges them with slander. Perhaps tonight, like that foolish man, that wicked man he's described in Psalm number 10, let me tell you how he's thinking. He says, I shall never be moved. He says, I shall never be in adversity. Things going well with you in your sin? Things going well? You would say with that wicked
foolish man in Psalm 10, I'll never be moved. I'll never be in adversity. He says more. He says, God hath forgotten. He says, he will never see it. He says in verse 13, thou wilt not require it. And my dear friend, I think of the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of man is set in him to do evil. And young friend, that hedge is still around you. God has been good. You've got godly parents. You've got a godly Sunday school teacher. You've got a Christian home. Things are going for you. And it would seem as there is a silent God. He's letting you take your course. But dear friend, I want to read or quote again the words of Scripture to you. God says, these things hast thou done, and I have kept silent. Then it seems to me as God would say, the tables will be turned. He says, but I will reprove them. I will set them in order before thine eyes. Thy secret sins in the light of my countenance. My dear friend, could I plead with you tonight? Don't bank on a silent God too long. God always has the last word. And tonight we would pray in this meeting that the voice of the Holy Spirit of God will be heard and that you will be arrested to the realization that it's God's goodness to you that has preserved you up to the moment in your sin. Some of you the Holy Spirit of God has been dealing with. Some of you, you've been pulled up and you've been arrested. But the tragic thing is, you've still gone on. And you're banking on the goodness of God. Oh, tonight may the Lord grant that the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. I want you to think of a silent Holy Spirit. Just now, I would believe in this gathering that the Holy Spirit of God is at work. Oh, the wonder of it that the Holy Spirit of God does strive. But dear friend, I want you to remember the solemn words of Genesis 6 and 3. And while it is an Old Testament scripture, we have it backed home well in the New Testament scriptures. As I think of a man like Felix that trembled as the Holy Spirit of God dealt with him. As I think of a man like Agrippa that was almost saved. As I think of a man in the Old Testament like Pharaoh, that God dealt with him. But tonight, dear friend, even though the Spirit of God spoke to Felix, tonight Felix is in hell. There is an Agrippa in hell. There is tonight a Pharaoh in hell. is the Holy Spirit of God striving? Do you hear His voice this evening? If you do, thank God for that. Because, my dear friend, I have to solemnly remind you that the Holy Spirit will not always strive. We believe with all our hearts that there is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. God's hidden boundary line between His mercy and His wrath. We believe that there is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, but it seals the destiny of man for glory or despair. And I think of those solemn words in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 8. You remember? The vine keeper came. He was expecting fruit. And you remember that sad edict? Cut it down. It's only cumbering the ground. And then you remember the words of entreaty, spare it this year also. If it bear fruit well, but if not then, after that, cut it down. And my dear friend, in this gospel meeting this evening, I believe there are some of you, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, has been speaking. You have had opportunity again and again. Oh, if the word were past, this night should be thy last. Where would thy soul be cast? Where hide thy face? I believe with all my heart in this gospel meeting now, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking, striving, and you would like to be saved. My dear friend, God's time for you is now. Lest there be for you a silent Holy Spirit that will never strive again. I believe that happens, you know. I remember many years ago in Northern Ireland, I was at business then. And our brother Mr. Knox's son and myself, we were having cottage meetings in a little village. A man and his four daughters were coming to those meetings. And I remember one night I plucked up courage. His wife was coming as well. I plucked up courage and going out of the meeting, I said, sir, are you saved? And he took me down the village street and we stopped outside a tumbled down whitewashed cottage. He said 35 years ago in that cottage there were gospel meetings. And I knew the men well. One of them was already in the glory. And he said, as a young man, I wanted to be saved. But, he said, I wanted to try the world. Somebody like that in this meeting? Wanted to try the world. He said, I resisted the call of the Holy Spirit of God. I can remember the night, he said. And he said, from that day to now, he said, I can think clearly on every subject. But he said, when I try to think about my soul, there's a cloud comes over my mind. I can't think. I said to him, tell me, Why do you come to the gospel meetings? And I'll never forget his answer. He said, I don't want my wife and family to go where I'm going. And you know, in those meetings, those four girls got saved. And before those meetings were finished, that man's body was found on the roof of a house. He was a repair builder. He had taken a heart attack and had died on the roof of the house. And I don't believe the man's in heaven. A silent Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, young man, forget about Jack Noble. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If in this gospel meeting tonight you hear the call of the Holy Spirit for the last time and reject the strivings of the Spirit, you'll find yourself at this silent company in Revelation chapter 20. You might say, why do you call it a silent company? I'll tell you why. I want you to think, dear friend, that now the laugh of the crowd is gone. The crowd's left behind. The tinkling of the glass is gone. You've had your last drink. Young man, you've smoked your last dope. And would I be doing more than drawing a bow at a venture? Would the Holy Spirit of God be sending an arrow tonight when I would say there are some of you and you're playing with that damnable weed? There's no dope in hell. The tinkling of the glass, the laugh of the crowd. The material things are gone. You're not hearing the prayers of loved ones now. There's an awful silence. And in the silence, methinks I hear only the rustling of the pages as the books are opened. And the dead are judged out of the things that are written in the books according to their works. Tell me, dear friend. Oh, young person, let me ask you tonight. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it? Because my Bible says that whoso's name was not found written in the book of life was cast. And I understand the force of that word is terrible. Was flung headlong into the lake of fire. A silent crowd. As you stand there, and as the books are opened, dear friend, let me remind you that loved ones won't be beside you now. Alone, you stand before God. But I want to hurry on. I've only 5 minutes left. I want you to think now of a silent Savior. And I want to bring you in these moments to Calvary. All the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, physical. All the sufferings at the pavement are past. The physical sufferings men have done their utmost to that precious body. And now yonder, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there is darkness. And in that darkness, hanging on that middle cross, there is a silent Savior. I think of those cries before the cross. The last one before the awful darkness envelops the scene. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And only in measure we'll ever know. It was because my sin on him by God was laid. He who himself had never sinned, for sinners, sin was made. And in the darkness, with two hands outstretched, one of them as it were touching the very throne of God, because he was God, one of them reaching down and touching mankind because he was man, with two arms outstretched, who his own self bare our sin, bare my sin in his own body on the tree. A silent Savior. I want you to think just as I sit down. I want you to think of a silent Satan. And I love the words. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died. And I like to think that while in Adam there is accusation, what is this that thou hast done? In Adam, there is condemnation because thou hast done this. In Adam, there is separation, so he drove out the man. I like to think that in Christ, there's no accusation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In Christ, there is no condemnation. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? In Christ there's no separation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul, in his writing, he waxes eloquent, guided by the Holy Spirit, as he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My dear friend tonight, thank God if you will come as a poor sinner, taking the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There is a silent Satan. He's been silenced forever in relation to your salvation, because Christ conquered Satan. He took from Satan his power. You can enjoy forgiveness of sin this evening, forgiveness of all your sins. You can enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help you this evening, even as my brethren speak, to take Christ as your Savior and to take him even tonight.